knows, good people, and I think in some ways misguided people, who perhaps, because they're fundamental, they maybe go a little excessive, or maybe be a little excessive, who think that Christmas is a sin. Now, I did not think for a moment that Jesus was born on December the 25th. In fact, the truth is, I think he was born sometime probably near April the 1st. But I'm not one of those that thinks it's wrong to set aside a season every year when we thank God that Jesus came to the earth. I do not celebrate Christmas as a holy season any more than I celebrate Easter as a holy day. But I think it's not wrong for us to once a year pause and give special attention to a particular Bible doctrine and Bible truth. Because of that, I rather enjoy Christmas. I delight when for a while the world's music is rested and on record players and stereos dedicated to the Antichrist, songs are played about the Lord Jesus. I rather enjoy walking down the street, maybe in a busy city or a shopping center, and in the place of rock music, somebody is singing Joy to the World, the Lord has come. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. And I guess the most hardened among us, and the one that's the nearest or the most like Scrooge among us this morning, is tendered just a little bit by the Christmas season. Christmas means many things to me. Christmas is a Christmas tree with bright, shiny balls, an angel on top, and a cat that is destroying both. Christmas is a Salvation Army, lassie, ring a bell on a corner. Christmas is Silent Night echoing through the halls and the walkways of a shopping center. Christmas is some earmuff teenagers standing in snow in front of a rest home, singing, Hark the herald angels sing, Glory to the newborn king. Christmas is Santa Claus sitting holding a weeping child who has impatiently waited all year for this ordeal. Christmas is deciding how much month is left at the end of the money in December. Christmas is waiting in an airport on tiptoes for a grandchild who won't recognize you when he sees you, and wondering when you say goodbye to him if the trip was worth it after all. Christmas is assembling an electric train with instructions placed in the box on how to assemble an electric razor. Christmas is putting tab A into slot B when it doesn't say slot B and backsliding is imminent. Christmas is brownies and calories and cookies and calories and fruitcakes and calories and nuts. And calories and pecan pies and calories. Christmas is flashing lights in a window shining upon stockings hanging on a fireplace. Christmas is trying to remember if Uncle George is 38 around the waist or 38 around the neck. And if 17 is his shirt size or his shoe size. Christmas is a Christmas play of Bethlehem's manger when little devils play the parts of little angels. Christmas is reindeer and sleighs and earmuffs, runny noses. Christmas is forgetting and giving Uncle Joe the tie he gave you last year. Christmas is not getting your mother-in-law what you want to give her because it's against the law. Christmas is tiptoeing to hide the children's gifts as they watch around the door and say, "Ain't Dad dumb?" Christmas is firemen making old toys to look like new ones. Christmas is churches delivering Christmas baskets. And Dad opening a pair of socks that cost him $800. Christmas is decorated houses as sightseers gaze appreciatively. Christmas is hot chocolate and popcorn and the midnight peal of bells. Christmas is a flat-busted dad pondering his plight to the poorhouse. Christmas is cheerful loved ones waving goodbye. A lonely Christmas tree awaiting its eulogy and interment. Christmas is a baby throwing away his gifts and playing with the boxes. Christmas is a dad playing with an electric train in the basement that he unselfishly bought for his son, who is to be born in 3 months. Christmas is a husband admiring the tool set he got for his wife. It's a cantata, a play, a turkey, a carol. It's a cake that is left for Santa and a dad who mysteriously gained 2 pounds overnight. Christmas is holly, fire in the fireplace. Christmas is standing under a mistletoe at Hiles Anderson College. And wishing you went to Purdue. And yet, Christmas is more than that. Christmas is to some the loneliest time of the year. Psychologists and psychiatrists say they have more business at Christmas time and after Christmas time than any other time of the year. Our officials tell us that more suicides are committed during the Christmas season than any other time of the year. Christmas is saying goodbye to the loved ones and hurting so much you wonder if it had not been best if they had stayed at home. It's that empty feeling at midnight when they wonder why Christmas was not what its expectations thought it would be. Christmas is a family sitting together for the first time without a dad who's been snatched from the table. His chair is empty for the first time on Christmas. Christmas is parents sitting together wondering how a child could grow up in 1 year and how yesterday he was 3 and today he's gone. Christmas is that empty feeling often on Christmas night when I guess more people feel melancholy and more people feel sad than at any other time of the year. For this morning's message, I'd like to attack that feeling. I'd like to help eliminate that lonely, melancholy Christmas feeling, especially at its end in your life this year. I'd like to give you some things that I think will help you this morning not to have that melancholy spirit, but you can feel what they felt when the prodigal came home. They killed the fatted calf and had a Christmas dinner, you might say. Put a ring on his finger, there's a Christmas present. Put a robe on his back. Call the neighbors in, there's a Christmas party. And the family, there's a Christmas reunion. And they began to to be merry. Now, if they began to be merry, it must be that they continued to be merry. For there is merriment here, and here is the beginning. Now, what can you do to avoid that empty, lonely, post-Christmas feeling? Some of you have already felt it. Christmas is sitting and remembering. Christmas is the Strombergs remembering that Christmas tree that was burned 7 days before Christmas 2 years ago. To them and to me, in a sense, Christmas is for the Dave coming down, knocking on my door. I was out of the office, as I recall. Came back in. Somebody said, Dave had been looking for me. I called the youth center, and he said, Dad, Stromberg's had a fire. Their house has been destroyed, and Sharon is burned to death. Remembering how that I went out to the house and walked inside the charred house, everything destroyed. And opening that bathroom door and seeing that little body lying on the floor. Well, that Christmas when I went over here on the other side of State Street into Calumet City, on this other side of State Line on State Street, went out behind a tavern to a little apartment. In fact, I think I went through the tavern. I know I saw Brother Fisk in there. I don't know why I went by. He was in there soul winning. And I walked through and back to an apartment back in the back and talked to a little poor Chinese family. Christmas to me is remembering how that all those little children, I went and got on that next Sunday and stacked the whole family in my car. A Chinese husband, the lady was not Chinese, but they had a bunch of little children, all just as cute as could be with little Chinese looking faces. Christmas is baptizing them that Christmas morning here in this church. Christmas, to me, is the next year when one of those little Chinese boys is playing on the railroad track over here. The train came by and killed him. Christmas season, I buried him. And the next Christmas, getting a call that his dad had a heart attack, rushed out here to the Slacker Edition, and saw his dad lying dead there on the bed. And Christmas is me telling the children that Daddy is just gone in the Christmas season. Christmas to me is that beautiful story that I tell every year at this time and haven't missed it for years. I love to tell it about Christmas Eve, 1960, when I was out soul winning the day before Christmas. So afternoon, knocked on the door in the 5,000 block of Columbia on the north side of Hammond. A man came to the door, and I said, I'm Brother Hiles from First Baptist Church. And this big old man named McBroom began to cry. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, could you come back tonight? It's Christmas Eve, and my wife is leaving tonight. Could you come back before 8? And I said, sure. And that Christmas Eve night, I knocked on the door, street light right out in front of the house, snow covering the ground as usual, Christmas time. Beautiful Christmas tree inside, flocked Christmas tree, beautiful, and presents all around it. And I walked in and told them the story of Christ. How that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again, and how that if they'd receive him by faith, they could have eternal life. And we knelt there, 8 o'clock sharp, we knelt to pray. He prayed, and I prayed first, then he prayed, and while he was praying, or while one of us praying, our eyes were closed, we're kneeling at the sofa. I was in the middle, and they were on either side. And I felt a cold something across my cheek. It felt like a piece of liver. Well, I've never felt a piece of liver across my cheek, but it felt like a piece of liver might feel. I looked up, and right beside me was a Cocker Spaniel dog, full grown. He decided he wanted to cause trouble at the prayer meeting. Well, Mrs. McBroom was getting saved, and he was getting saved, and I had to do something with that dog. So I grabbed him by the neck and held him, but he struggled for freedom. I held him tighter. He kept struggling. I thought, good night, if I don't keep this dog quiet, these folks won't get saved. I've got to keep him quiet. All the time, I was saying, now, you pray, Mrs. McBroom. I was holding that dog like that, and he was big old, struggling like that. So finally, I took his nose and stuck it down in a pillow there on the sofa. You've seen these little square pillows. stuck it down the pillow and held him there and squeezed tight, tighter than I thought I'd squeeze. And then suddenly he went limp. I let go and he didn't move. I thought, good night, I've killed a dog. All the time she is praying, he is praying, both of them getting saved, and I've killed the dog. All the rest of that prayer, I thought I'd be indicted the next day for murder. We got finished praying, and they both got saved. The dog wasn't dead. The dog was just praying. Back paws on the floor, front paws up on the sofa, and his nose in that pillow. Both of them got saved. When they got saved, they stood up and looked at each other and rushed to each other and hugged. And as they were hugging and kissing, I walked out the door. I turned to look back, and with the light of the street light on the street shining back in the house, I saw a picture that ought to be on a Christmas card. I saw them, new converts, embracing, and that beautiful tree and those presents and the snow on the outside. And I said to myself, that's what Christmas really is. Christmas is Christ coming into our lives and being born again. Christmas is soul winning. Christmas is not a babe in a manger. Christmas is the living Christ, God incarnate, come to earth to give us life eternal. As I walked out, that dog was still there. Back paws, back feet on the floor, front paws upon the sofa, and his nose in that pillow. Thank God he was breathing. I told that story a year later in the auditorium over here at Burn. After I finished telling the story, Christmas 1961, Mr. McBroom came down to the front after the service and said, why didn't you tell the rest of the story? And I said, sir, I told all the story. I know they were sitting right in the balcony up here. Well, I told it. I said, I told all I know. He said, what you don't know is the next night after that night, Christmas night, 8 o'clock sharp, same time we knelt Christmas Eve, that dog came back to the sofa and got that pillow with his teeth and pulled that pillow to the same spot where it had been the night before. And put his back feet on the floor and his front paws on the sofa and his nose in that pillow and prayed again. He said, my wife and I couldn't believe it. He said, the next night, that dog got that pillow. 8 o'clock, not 1 minute till, not 1 minute after, 8 o'clock, got that pillow. Pulled it where it was before. Stuck his nose in the pillow. Back feet on the floor, front paws on the sofa, nose in the pillow. He prayed. He said, pastor, for 7 nights, he did that exactly at 8 o'clock. He said, I looked at my wife and I said, you know, he got saved more than we did. He said, we knelt beside him and joined him in prayer. He said, now, pastor, for 1 year, every night, that dog has knelt at the same time, 8 o'clock, and started our family devotions. Every night. Christmas is many memories like that to me. Now what can you do? What can be done in your life for you to prevent this melancholy feeling? This emptiness that you feel? What can be done? Now the first thing you can do is don't expect last year's Christmas. Don't say, boy, I want one like last year, or year before, or year before that. That's what I... Don't expect that. God has something special and new and refreshing and exciting for you this year. Don't expect, don't compare this year to last year. You ask God to give you that that he has for you this year. And you spend Christmas this year singing the songs of God and the songs of Christmas and rejoicing in the Christ child who's come to live and die and rise again. And you spend it living for other people. And you say, dear God, I don't ask you for last year's Christmas. I don't ask you for a year before last. I don't ask you for a traditional Christmas. I ask you to help me this Christmas to be all that you want me to be, do all that you want me to do, and I ask you to make this Christmas unique, unusual, and exactly what you have for me this Christmas. Number two, don't expect anything to be like yesterday. Enjoy the uniqueness of today. And by the way, don't try to have a good time. You know, I refuse to wait till tomorrow to enjoy today. Bless God, if these are the good old days, I'm going to enjoy them while they're going on. I am not one day going to be an old man with my scrapbook looking back at memories of all that God has enabled me to do, and all I've seen, and all I've gotten to do, and all the preaching I've done. I'm not going to wait till I'm old and realize what a good time I used to have. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to say, now I belong to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Now I'm a child of God. Now I get to preach the gospel. Now I'm free. Now my family's well. Now I'm in my middle years. Now God is good to me. And I refuse to wait till tomorrow to enjoy today. Today, God is a today God. Before Abraham was, Jesus says, I am. Whom shall I say sent me, asked Moses. Tell him that the I am has sent thee. Oh, if I could help you to have the art of enjoying today, now, today. This is the day. Today is the day. Nobody does anything tomorrow. And yesterday will be, or tomorrow, today will be yesterday, tomorrow. So enjoy it now while you're here. The good old days crowd didn't enjoy them then. They just talk about them now. I refuse to be partial to yesterday. Now I refuse to be partial to tomorrow. But as I said on recent Sunday morning, I'm in love with today. I cannot win anybody to Christ yesterday, and I cannot win anyone to Christ tomorrow. For tomorrow will be today on tomorrow, and yesterday was today yesterday. This is the day. Now's the time. So in this Christmas season, defeat the melancholy spirit, and defeat the unhappy time, and defeat the lonely hours by saying, I am saved today. God is my Father today. Christ is my Savior today. Don't try to make yourself another Christmas like last year. Just have this year's in the will of God and take what God has for you today. May I say also, if you're going to enjoy Christmas and execute that spirit of melancholy, do something for somebody else. Bake a cake for the blind. Write a poem for a loved one. Embroider an apron for a senior citizen. Make some candy for a bus kid. Pull some taffy for a deaf person. Put some shoes on some cold feet. Put some food in hungry stomach. Get a coat for a cold body. Win someone to Jesus. You know what I've done? I'll just tell you what I do every Christmas. I won't tell you how much. But I get a sizable amount of money every Christmas. And I stick it in my pocket and I pass it out like tracts. You say, how much is it? It's more than I spend for probably everybody put together for Christmas presents. Pass it out. Just go out. Look, some of you fellows can write a check for $1,000. Listen, you'd be amazed how much fun you could have this Christmas if you do what I'm about to tell you. Take a $1,000 check. Go out of the bank. Get it cashed in the 20s. Just get it cashed in the 20s. Walk around seeing folks who are in need. The other day I was at a store. I saw a little lady whom I've seen all over the city. I've admired her tremendously. I don't know what she does, but I've seen her, and she's poor, and she's a hard worker. I've seen her. I won't tell you where I've seen her. I don't even know who she is. Don't know her name. Don't know where she lives. The other day I saw her, I stopped and gave her two $20 bills. Christmas. She wears tennis shoes. I've seen her wear tennis shoes for years in the snow. There's so much more in about Christmas than what am I going to get. What am I going to get? What am I going to get? How many presents under the tree for me? That's a piddling way to live. I've said it before, I said it again. You can have Christmas 365 days a year if you have it right. If this is Christmas to you, you can only have Christmas when folks decide to give something to you. But if this is Christmas to you, you can have Christmas on March the 13th. And January 19th and April 23rd and September 1st. If giving is to you, Christmas is how much do I get? You can only have Christmas once a year, or when somebody decides to give you something. But if Christmas to you is how much can I give? What can I do for somebody else? You'd be amazed what Christmas can be every day in the year for you. I saw the broadcast the other day. Christmas, you'll forgive me for saying it, and I'll get criticized for it, but Christmas is not really unusual for me. I've learned to be happy all year. Down in Texas, years ago, early December, I was out soul winning. I went to a home on the Dondo Street, knocked on the door. A little lady came to the door, and I said, "My name is Jack Hiles. Are you Mrs. DeBoard?" And she said, "Yes, I'm Mrs. DeBoard, D-E, capital B-O-R-D. And I said, "Mrs. DeBoard, are you a Christian? Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven?" And she said, "No, I don't." I said, "Would you like to know?" She said, "I think I would." I told her about Jesus, and she was sweetly converted early December, I guess. She said, "Would you come back and tell my husband, Jake?" And I said, "Yes." I went back on a Thursday night. She was in the kitchen washing dishes, back before we had dishwashers. You know, she was washing the dishes with her hands and super suds, you know, Rinso Blue or something, in the kitchen sink. And I told, "Don't laugh at me, ladies. You'll be dumb someday and old and senile. Don't laugh at me." And anyway, she was washing dishes and suds all over the sink, you know, and she was washing and putting her to drain on the side. And I went in the living room and I told Jake about Christ. She was listening like this. She'd just gotten saved. She was in like this. And when Jake got through praying the sinner's prayer, she said, "Hallelujah. Glory to God." And super suds went everywhere. She came in. She threw them on Jake. She threw them on me. She hugged him. They danced around the room, and I even joined it. And we had an old-fashioned revival. 2 weeks from then, just a few days before Christmas, her little boy, David, 15 months old, had a little fever. She took him to the doctor. She didn't think he was bad sick. She got him, put him in the car, took him to the doctor, got out of the car, picked him up, put a little something over his head. And between the car and the doctor's office, she heard a whimper. And she felt the heartbeat leave. And little David died in her arms. I will forget when I went to the house, it was a few days before Christmas, there was a tree, and there were David's presents around the tree. And I thought I'd die as we buried that little boy just a day or two before Christmas. Mr. DeBoard went home, and rather than have a sad Christmas, she picked up her newspaper and she picked out the people that had lost loved ones. And during that Christmas season, she went to visit other folks who had lost loved ones. But her little boy is still fresh in the grave, just a few hours in the grave. She was in funeral homes bringing cheer to other people who had lost loved ones. And every Christmas, instead of staying home and lamenting, "David's gone, and why didn't our boy stay, and why did our boy leave," and lamenting, she gave her life to serving others and bringing comfort and joy to other people. Folks, you don't have to have that empty feeling on Christmas this year. I think what it is. Your joy is caused with a pretty presence under the tree. When they're all gone, you feel empty, don't you? I'm glad my Christmas joy is not a bunch of twinkling lights. I'm glad my Christmas joy is not a dead tree that's going to last a few days. I'm glad my Christmas joy is not a wreath in the window or a few packages under the tree. I'm glad my Christmas joy is this. God became flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that baby became a man, and that man bore my sins and yours in his body on the tree, and I can live forever if I trust him. And by the way, I can live eternally now with eternal life now. The eternal life I'll have when I die, I can have it now if I receive this Christ of Bethlehem as my own personal Savior. There's a lot more to Christmas than you think there is. May I suggest this also? Plan something big for after Christmas. My hardest time of the year is the night, Friday night, after pastor school ends. When I walk out this door every year at pastor school time, I'm so wrung out and emotionally drained, I get in the car and I drive for 2 hours and do nothing but cry. Every year, I've given myself and I've poured out my soul and I've given weeks and months of preparation of my for the school into my heart. And then for a week, pastors come from all over America and I feel like that the future of the country may rest in this building. And I pour my soul out, and after it's all over about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, I get in the car and I don't want anybody to bother me. I want to just go and I cry and I cry and I cry. But you know what I do? I always plan something special for that night. I've already got it planned for this year. I'm not going to sit in my study on that night. And by the way, if you check my calendar, you'll find I've got some people coming to see me on Christmas night, too, that have problems. And the time that you're sitting there, melancholy, in your home, I'm going to be talking to somebody in trouble and trying to help them out of trouble. That's what Christmas is. And then also realize exactly what it is. I guess it's not bad to have a baby in a cradle. But quite frank with you, that doesn't move me very much. Because the liberal will look at that baby in a cradle and say, God came, or God gave us an example of how to live. I tell you what moves me. The Christmas story of Matthew, yeah, that's good. I like it. Christmas story of Luke, yeah, that's good. I like it. I prefer the one of John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Mr. Carter broke my heart and broke yours last Friday night. And he made the dumbest blunder any president's ever made in my lifetime. He says he's born again. And he becomes a bosom buddy with a country that has the blood of 50 million of his born-again brothers and sisters on their hands and says, come on, we'll wine and dine and live it up. That's heresy. That's pagan. He says, we want peace with Red China. Listen, we have peace with Red China. Anybody else? We'll not have it letting rattlesnakes come in our living room. What Red China needs is a message of repentance, message of Christ. We sing, peace on earth, goodwill to men. You won't have it because you cater to wrong and appease wicked, godless nations. You'll have it when this blessed old book is believed and taught and preached. In World War I, the guns were firing and the bullets passing across no man's land. The German army was over here on this side, entrenched. The American army over here on this side, entrenched. The Allied army shooting to kill each other. And as the zing and the sound and the noise of bullets and the shrieks of dying men could be heard on both sides, one man suddenly realized it was Christmas morning. And that man began to thank God for Christ. This soldier jumped up out of his foxhole and became an easy prey and target for the enemy. On whose side, I don't know, but he jumped up and ran out in the middle of no man's land and began to sing, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. The American soldiers heard his voice ringing across no man's land. Their thoughts turned to home and mom and dad and children and trees and gifts and church. The American soldiers stood up from their trenches and walked out into no man's land, an easy target for the enemy. And all of a sudden, the German soldiers stood up, and they too marched out into no man's land, leaving their guns in the foxholes. The American soldiers extended their hands to the German soldiers, and holding hands together, they sang in unison, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace." And in that manger, and in that story, and in that Christ lies the hope of world peace today, and peace in your heart. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is Jesus. And that melancholy spirit that you're so prone to feel during this season can be executed, destroyed, if you'll make your Christmas not as the heathen do, but make your Christmas silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. And when you receive him and live for him, it can be said of you, "And he began to be merry."